Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trundy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, a very good morning to all our First Nation radio stations across the country as well. National Talk Black wishes them a very deadly day, and a deadly black network it is. Yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're going to catch up a yarn very soon with Pip Miller, celebrating 30 years since launching Pip Miller PR. But stay tuned for that deadly yarn, and that's coming up very soon, too deadly.
Spirit dreamer, serpent dreaming, the rainbow dreaming, spirit dreaming. What you want, got that for ya. Not too late, don't give up. The road ahead, it opens for us, it opens to us. Devoted to ya, what you want, got that for ya. Rainbow dreaming, not too late.
Yeah, Diddly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. As I said, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Pip Miller. Celebrates 30 years since launching Pip Miller PR. And look, since then, she's worked with countless local events, mostly notable at the Cairns Festival, the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair since 2013, and Cairns Amateurs Carnival as well. We have Pip on the line. Pip, good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Congratulations, 30 years. Now, you, non-Indigenous sister, white on the outside, black on the inside, we claim you. You've done a lot of work for our mob over the 30 years. So tell us about Pip Miller PR, how it all started, and here you are still swinging the bat, sister.
Oh, thank you for that rap. I started back in 1993 when I came to Cairns. Well, I'd been doing, you know, media and communications prior to that in London and prior to that in Sydney. And I was a country girl. I grew up in the country of New South Wales, near Moree, actually. And I landed in Sydney and started doing some journalism and then went into PR and ended up in London, and I was tasked with getting clients, and it was very competitive, but I was lucky to land the Northern Territory Tourist Commission as a client back in the day. And so I worked with some amazing people, and we had the wonderful Bill Harney come over, and that was my first experience, and, you know, talking with you know, your First Nations brothers and the wonderful rock art and the tours that the Northern Territory, and they were, you know, the journalists in England were very curious, and we used to organise for some of them to get commissions by their newspapers and come out to the Territory. And anyway, that's a long time ago, but that was my first foray. Good. And landed in Cairns, and what am I going to do? And ended up scoring a job with a design agency, but they didn't really have PR as a as a department. So,
so what were you employed as?
Oh, I was an account exec.
Okay.
And so initially I was looking after, you know, a lot of tourism brochure clients that were, you know, needing tourism brochures and ads and things. But again, you know, there was this pressure, oh, Pip, you need to go and get some business. And so that's when I sort of started working the PR angle, and it was quite, as an industry, like quite fledgling. A lot of people, you know, there were people that knew what public relations was, of course, but a lot didn't, and it was sort of confused with promotions and advertising, and that for probably the first 10 years, a lot of what I was doing was telling people that, well, this is advertising and this is PR, and the two work together, but, you know, really sort of working on that PR brand.
Sure.
And I was lucky, you know, I worked with a lot of tourism people in those days, and the tourism industry was booming, and because there weren't many of me, I was able to score some really cool things, like jobs and, you know, Akadaka.
Akadaka, yes.
Do you remember, like, when they played at Showgrounds?
Yes, Showgrounds, exactly, yes.
And they rocked the town. I think everybody, you know.
So when we're talking PR, we're talking, no matter what product we're talking about, it's how you promote it, how you market it, and that's PR, public relations. That's what the job entails, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's about, like, it's about putting forward the new, like, packaging up the newsworthiness or the interest to the listeners and the readers and the watchers, and trying to get those clients or those events or people or who, whatever it is that you're sort of focusing on the airwaves or in print or on the telly, you know, based on the fact that it is of interest.
Yes.
And it's newsworthiness, whereas with ads, you know, you create an ad and you pay for that space or that airtime, whereas with PR, it's really based on its news merit, its merit as a news or a human interest story.
Get the word out.
So, and, you know, there's sort of a bit of an art to it, like everything. And, you know, you make sure that you have all your little ducks lined up, and, you know, if it's for the papers, you make sure that you've got a good picture to go with the story, and with radio, you make sure that, you know, your talent, and in the case of, you know, BBM, I've worked a lot with BBM,
yes, you
making
have.
Sure that the radio, there's an artist that can talk to you, or an organiser, like in Kaif's case, you know, if there's a Kaif story, making sure that you have that accessibility to, you know, really get that news across.
Exactly. So Pip Miller PR, you solo? Do you have a team with you?
Yeah, I'm a sole trader. I've
sole
worked
trader,
with a lot of people.
Like, sure, yes.
You know, over the years, but generally I'm a one-woman band.
Sure.
And I sort of plug in to teams. So, you know, in the case of Yumi Arts and Kaif and I do a lot of work with First Nations artists and Aboriginal and Torres Strait artists in this region, which I absolutely love.
Good.
And I sort of, I'm like an extension of their team.
Yeah, beautiful. It is. Yep.
So, yeah, and yeah, that's how it works. But I just work from home, Trev.
Sure, yes. So 30 years operating and still continue, happy to drive this ship forward?
Yeah, I mean, not forever, of course.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I'm asking. Is there a plan B, or is there a new chapter, or are you happy doing what you're doing?
Well, what I'm actually doing at the moment, I love doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
But I'm actually studying, I'm doing a research project into local news in FNQ, and that's FNQ... from basically Townsville up north to the Torres Strait west. I'm looking at all of that area and how people get their news, and the main changes that have occurred in that space and how important it is that people have access to radio and TV and newspapers and what that means for their community and, you know, knowing what's going on and feeling connected. And I'm doing that. I'm in a PhD that I'm hopefully will finish next year. And so there may be in the future more of, more research into that space is my aim. So I still, you know, I'm still going to do what I do because I love it and there's still, people still need me.
Yes.
But I would like to create some sort of legacy for this, you know, for news and for this region.
Fantastic. Well, look, we've had affiliation with you for so many years as Bummer Bipper Media and me as an individual as well. So, look, it's fantastic. And congratulations, 30 years. And we'll be yarning another 30 years.
oh my goodness. I'd like to thank Bummer Bipper, you know, from the bottom of my heart. Like, you're just an amazing radio station, an amazing
team. Just repeat that and speak slowly. Say that again, sorry.
Amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Radio station.
Look, a team effort, and it's we work well together, and it's about promoting our arts and promoting our Indigenous artists, but promoting First Nation people who have a space in all facets and all industries, and you do great work with that, Pip. So we thank you very much, and congratulations, and we'll yarn soon. I'll see you at the next event, sister.
Yeah, you'll see me at Kaif, but yeah, I have great respect, so thank you.
Thank you, Pip. Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Adela Yande, Pip Miller, PR, her name is, a non-Indigenous sister. Look, done a lot of work over the years, way back since, 2013 and beyond, and worked closely with all First Nation artists, especially in the Kaiyaf space, Cairns Art Fair, also Cairns Amateurs Carnival and Cairns Festival, and we are always at same events, so she does a lot of great work in regarding promoting black people in business, which is fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
No, I can't say let go. You're gone when I need you the most. They say it's hard, but you never know what you had for so long, then it's gone. When I wake, smell the coffee, my lungs breathe it in and I'm happy. I wish it all was just a dream, but it's not, it's never what it seems. When the days are dark and the room is feeling empty, I know that I can lean on you when I'm feeling heavy. You will catch my tears when the days are looking darker. You are my pillow and you're all I got. Oh, when I fall apart, fall apart, when I fall apart, yeah. The house is silent and it's past three. Oh, in my room, now it feels like I can't breathe. I start to cry and get angry. I'm too young to lose you, can't you see? Yeah. I sit and stare as the phone. That it could be. I wanna wake up from this dream. In the dark, I'm awake, I can see. When the days are dark and the room is feeling empty, I know that I can lean on you when I'm feeling.
tears when the days are looking darker. You are my pillow and you're all I got. Oh, when I fall apart, when I fall apart, when I fall apart, when the days are dark and the room is feeling empty, I know that I can lean on you and I'm feeling heavy. You will catch my tears when the days are looking darker. You are my pillow and you're all I got. Oh, when I fall apart.
Never forget, Jar Away here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, 2012, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Also, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page of BBM 98.7 FM. All right, next segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, that's Brins Media in Edmonton. Give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bipper Media, healthy living, healthy lifestyle. And we have yarns with the boys in blue from Edmonton Police. And we do have Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay and his daily bodyguard there, Stephen Grant. And a very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, g'day, Trev.
Good morning, Trev.
Great to see you both. Steve, who are you mob? Where are you from?
Proud Jitterbell boy from the tropical rainforest of the Ravenso Tully area.
Yes.
The wettest town in Australia.
I don't know. I think we take that trophy here in Cairns. I mean, the big orange thing out there in the sky at the moment. I forgot what that looked like. I took
yes.
a photo of that sun thing and put it in my tree at home.
True.
It's been a while. I mean, it's rained since Christmas.
Mm.
It's rained every weekend since Christmas.
Mm.
So, Tully, we do not want that trophy. Witness 10 Australia, take it back, please. Otherwise, move the gun boot up
that's
here.
That's it.
Senior Sergeant Glenn DeLay, Hillbilly Boy, Tableland.
Yes.
How you going, my friend?
Very well, mate. Very well.
You're good?
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. And now this Murray going, he going good?
Yeah,
is he going for your job?
No, I don't think he is.
No, he's shaking his head there.
Yeah,
no. All right, now, gentlemen, we're talking boiler rooms, which I don't know what this is about. You're going to discuss a boiler room. I'm thinking, you got a couple of boiler makers working for the blue uniform.
I know.
Explain what boiler rooms is all about, please. Look, Senior Sergeant Linda Lloyd.
Yeah, and look, I'll have to confess, before I did some digging into what these were, I had no idea what a boiler room was.
Oh, you
either.
Don't know what a boiler room is either.
So I do now. And,
you do now. Educate our listeners.
Yep, and the purpose of that education is to keep your money in your pockets because, look, basically a boiler room can be described as an outgoing call centre. Okay, this is where telephone salespersons put high pressure, dishonest tactics, like sale tactics.
So we're talking scam.
Mm, scam. So,
okay.
Yep. So they're trying to induce unsuspecting victims to invest their money or purchase stocks, sometimes computer programs.
Okay.
So they'll claim that they can accurately provide advice about stocks to purchase and sell. So basically, their whole purpose is just to get your money and get you to purchase a product which probably won't perform as well as they say it will, or whether the product exists in the first place.
Okay. And this is becoming regular. This is popular. This is a new thing, or it's been around for a while.
Yeah, look, scams have been around forever. That's it. And but the issue with these call centres, they can be located anywhere in the world. And that can include here in Australia, but most likely offshore.
Okay.
As soon as you send your money and your money goes offshore, there's very little we can do about that to get your money back.
Okay, so how do we protect ourselves from boiler rooms, you could say? Yep.
Yeah, look, so basically, just be aware of the people cold calling you with offers to make quick and easy money. We can avoid any opportunity which requires you to make a hurried decision, and these people will put pressure on you to make that decision and purchase their product while they've got you
on
the phone.
So they're very good at their so-called sales spiel.
Correct.
They have a yarn, they gift of the gab, they talk it up and paint the picture, and before you know it, you're giving out your credit card.
Yep, absolutely. And look, it would appear that it was all above board. But something you can do to protect yourself is check with the Australian Securities and Investments Commission.
Okay, that's ASIC. Yep.
Just the legitimacy of the offer and whether it's registered with the ASIC.
Yes.
We can check the identities and credentials of the people behind the opportunity. Sometimes these names they use don't exist. Mm-hmm. So these are basically like fake companies that are put up as a front.
Mm. So if you didn't do your due diligence, if they're asking for your money or giving a spiel, whatever case may be, you're in a position to ask questions.
Yeah.
Who are you? Where are you based? Have you got a web page?
A lot of the time it's taken you years to earn this money and have it put away.
Exactly.
So absolutely take that time to protect it and don't be so keen to part with it. Mm. Look, it goes without saying is the old one, if an investment opportunity sounds too good to be true, it is, you know.
Okay.
And so it's not realistic to believe that a person that you've never met or you've just met is going to make you rich without any risk to you. So don't rush.
Yep, don't rush.
If the opportunity is so good, you'd have to question yourself why everyone isn't jumping on board and making all this money themselves, you know. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's just something to be aware of, because these businesses do appear legitimate and definitely, you know, can trick people into thinking that it's worth investing into their products.
Sure.
A lot of the times the businesses will fold.
Mm.
Okay, they're calling it here phoenixing. So the face of the face of the company closes.
It's all the different wording terminology. Boiler rooms, phoenixing.
Yep.
There it is. Yep.
So like the face of the company will close and it'll commence trading under another name. So that's just to try and protect themselves from complaints.
And getting caught out.
That's
whatever.
Absolutely. The heat's. You know, when the heat's on them, that they'll change their name and makes it very difficult to identify. Who these people are or where you place your complaints.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then the other thing is, probably asking, well, how did you get my number and correct. What's it all about? And if you're talking about stuff that I need, then how do you know me? Ask the questions, what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Do your due diligence.
Yep.
Well, that's scary. So, and it's hard for you guys to police it, especially when they're based in overseas.
Yeah, absolutely. Like once the money's offshore, you know, it's outside of
your class that is gone, lost.
Look, we can report it. I suppose to the federal police, but again, this is offshore. It's out of our jurisdictions here, so there's very little we can do once that money, leaves Australia. So it's just something to be very cautious of, it's one of the things. If you think this is something that's going to make you rich quick, your alarm bell should be ringing.
Exactly. Too good to be true, as you mentioned earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, boiler rooms, like I said, never heard the terminology before. Yeah, exactly. No. You know, boiler rooms, that's what I thought. I thought you guys into rebuilding the police station out at Edmonton and you need a bit of welders out there.
Yeah.
It's a boiler makers.
One
day. That's the vision. That's the dream. Yeah. All right, fantastic. So, look, I just came from the big shout out to the Navy personnel. I just went to NIDP, the Navy Indigenous Development Program, this morning with the graduations. So just pop the question with you guys and how you're traveling in regarding graduations. New recruits for the police force.
Edmonton.
That's in police liaison officer as well as officers.
Edmonton's got, we've got four new first years that commenced work at Edmonton in the previous week.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll drag them down to the station here and
have a yarn with them. Yeah, yeah.
Part of the community engagement.
Went beyond the ears. Four, when did they start?
So that was last week.
Last week, okay, cool.
But in saying that, we lose six next month.
How do you take on four and lose six? That means you're down too.
It's a bit of a merry-go-round, roller coaster. So sometimes we come up with stuff, sometimes we go down.
And the six you're losing are what, second year?
So they'll go to their second year
placement. They go second year placement. Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Yep.
And you take on first year placement. Those are four that you just signed up last week.
That's right. Yep.
Okay, cool. Yep. Any of them from Cairns? Any from Cairns, those four?
I think there might be two.
Two from Cairns?
From Cairns, yeah.
Any Indigenous?
No.
No, no, there you go. There's room there, you brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Room for black police officers, yes.
Yep. And look, the beauty of that group, they're from Townsville, so you know, having that local academy up in the far north makes it much more easier to keep in touch with family and certainly I always like to see those local lads come out of the academy because they actually really do understand what it's like to work in the far north, you know.
Sure, exactly.
All over Australia, people have their own local ideas and customs and it really helps when you actually come from that area if you've got a police.
Exactly. I was listening to the boys yesterday when they went out to the job and one of the recruits come back and he said, I went code 2 to a job. And
what's code 2?
Lights and siren.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, code 2, lights and siren.
He was happy to drive the car.
With the siren going.
Yeah.
You've been dreaming about it for the last 12 months.
I'm qualified. I just press this button. The blue and red lights.
The other thing I'd just like to mention quickly, Trev, last week I attended the state PLO conference here in Cairns.
Yes.
We had TIPSOs from the Torres Straits and members from Brisbane across the state.
Good.
There was approximately 90 PLOs attendance.
Fantastic.
That was held here in Cairns. We also had the commissioner up for a day.
So was there a day event? Was it breakfast or what was it?
It was a luncheon event.
Okay.
So during State of Origin, of course.
Of course. Thank you. Yes. That's why all our AGM meetings across this country is always in Brisbane.
Correct.
On the week of the State of Origin, of course. Thank you.
So it was a good 3-day workshop.
Yes.
Coming from fellow PIs and TIPSOs across the state, and obviously there'd be they'd pick Cairns for they had the good weather compared to Brisbane.
The venue, yep.
Yeah.
Cairns,
so very good workshop over the 3-day period.
So that would have been all over the state. Yeah.
Correct.
Torres Strait as well. And
correct. Yeah, so they were actually chosen by the districts.
Good.
And the good OIC here asked me to participate in the conversation. So
all PLOs across the state were at this convention. Yep.
Correct.
Beautiful.
For
fantastic.
3 days. Yeah.
Catch up with brothers, owe you money.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. All good, yarn. Well, thank you for the boiler room yarns.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, thank you very much, Senior Sergeant Linda Loy. And I have been educated, you know what they are. So protect yourself, you mob. And do due diligence when you are queried over the phone regarding someone selling you a product or something and they want your bank details. Ask the question, check with ASIC, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's a very good yarn, very important yarn. Say hello to all your team there at Edmonton.
Will do.
Fantastic. Yep. And we will yarn soon, brothers.
Yes, sure.
All the best. You take care, right?
Thanks,
sir.
All right. Beautiful yarn there with the boys in blue. Edmonton Police, big shout out. Deadly crew. Be ready. Senior Sergeant Linda Lies back to the office very soon. So step up, you know, do your thing. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yanaf Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
It's me and you against the world. 'Cause nobody ever knows.
Yeah, Against the World, that's the Nigger Beats here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Busking for Change invites schools to learn a song in an indigenous language to boost literacy and development. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Shelley Ware from Indigenous Literacy Foundation, ambassador, author and editor. And we do have Shelley on the line. Shelley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Sister, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
So I'm Shelley Ware. I'm Yunkandjara Wirangu Gugutha woman from South Australia, Sejuna Way, but now living in Narman, Melbourne.
Fantastic. And that's cold country down there. Can I say that? I'm up here in Cairns.
So think of your sister. We're cold today.
Thank you. Rugged up. Rugged up. Shut up. Sister, look, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about schools across the nation are being invited to learn a song in Northern Australia, Indigenous language, as part of the Indigenous Literacy Foundation Busking for Change initiative. So shed some light. Explain how this works. And it's fantastic that we're talking education, a fantastic tool.
Oh, look, it's fantastic. The Indigenous Literacy Foundation have come up with a good one. Well, Josh Pike did, one of the ambassadors.
Okay.
It's Busking for Change, where a new song in Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander language is celebrated every year. And this year we've got a gorgeous song in Creole, an Aboriginal called Shorty Creek, which started as a poem and working with children. And then Justine Clark turned it into a song, and here we are. But schools have an opportunity to sign up this term and then start fundraising. We've got a busking day, which will be September the 4th, and they'll be doing a performance of that ILD song, Shorty Creek. So we're looking for 115 schools to sign up so we can raise $110,000 for the community publishing program.
Well, that's fantastic. When you look at the likes of Taba Naba, I mean, through all the kindergartens and now primary schools, it's a powerful tool when we're talking about education, when we're talking about schools and the curriculum, and there's a pathway for us to bring our language and our songs to the table. It keeps our language on, but it educates the people of the world, the teachers, as well as students. That's all students. It's a great concept, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, keeping our languages live and strong and teaching, you know, non-Aboriginal and people all about how the beauty within our language, and we're wanting to share that with them so, you know, everyone around Australia connects to the beauty within our cultures and histories. So that's what we're looking for. So, you know, this is a fantastic way for teachers and schools to get on board and bring that language into schools so kids are learning it and it's a part of their everyday.
Yeah, fantastic. So you're the Indigenous Literacy Foundation ambassador, author, editor. How long have you been in the position?
Yes, I've been an ambassador for 10 years. There's a whole bunch of us, so I'm pretty blessed.
Okay.
I just came back from Tiwi and we met up with a whole bunch of young authors that I've worked with over the past 10 years. So, you know, I've created about 8 books with the Indigenous Literacy Foundation.
Fantastic.
So,
look,
we're hoping we can get more books out there with more language for more kids to identify themselves in books and see themselves.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So great. So big shout out to the Indigenous Literacy Foundation, the work that they're doing. It is a team effort and a powerful vehicle in keeping our culture alive. Thank you for sharing, my sister. Big shout out to the team there. And how do people find you, Mob?
Yeah, well, they can actually just head to the ILF website, but there is a dedicated website called buskingforchange.ilf.org.au. It's got all the tools, resources that a school needs to have a successful Busking for Change fundraiser.
Beautiful, fantastic. Shelley, you keep smiling, my sister. Stay warm and we'll yarn soon.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Shelley Ware, her name is, Indigenous Literacy Foundation ambassador, author and editor. And Busking for Change invites schools to learn a song in an Indigenous language to boost literacy and development. So all you deadly schools out there across the nation, get in touch with Literacy Foundation. Check out Busking for Change initiative. Check that out on the webpage there. And look, they're trying to raise $110,000. To support this fantastic space and this organisation in regarding language, keeping our language alive. To Delhi, this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416. Call the number. Yarn Up's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. National Talk Black.
Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for fostering kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wuchopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wuchopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wuchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wuchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wuchopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
Too deadly, can't beat black on black. Thank you very much, Sister Karen Salam, Wuchopperin Kinship Care. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummer, Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, Black Brews makes major win and a Gordon Ramsay mentorship with food star success. Celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay has chosen a Geelong man to mentor and invest in following an 8-episode season of Food Stars. We're talking TB Troy Benjamin, owner of Black Brews, and celebrated the win on Wednesday night at Eureka Hotel with a viewing of the grand final episode surrounded by family and friends and fans, of course. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Troy on the line. Troy, good morning, Troy. How are you, brother?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for coming to the program. And before we start, Troy, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Oh, I'm a proud Tutty Tutty, Muddy Muddy, Waddy Waddy and Wamba Wamba man. I live down on Wateron Country down in Geelong. But those mobs around the north west of Victoria up in Robinvale, Balranald.
Yes.
And I'm joining you today from Wurundjeri country, actually in Carlton, in amongst all the pizzas and the espresso.
Yep, and still cold country for this little black duck up here in Cairns, North Queensland. Good on you, brother. Now tell us about, give us a bit of background about Black Brews. Who's Black Brews, my brother?
Oh, Black Brews. Well, if you don't know, we're a First Nations owned tea company, and we really want to make sure that the whole world, but also probably primarily at this stage Australia, gets to get excited and taste the wonderful plants and fruits that we've got growing right under our feet here. But
exactly,
we've got a little eight tea range business that runs online and also growing with some stockers, and we just recently won Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars.
Yeah, congratulations.
Has given us a great, thank you, brother. It's given us a great platform to be able to share our tea to as many people as possible.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So tell us how it all came about. When you're on a program, how did you win the mentorship with Food Star Success? Tell us the setup and the journey as such.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just audition. I got a friend of a friend suggested me to their casting agent, and I took the opportunity, and really, it happened super quickly. Mm. Two auditions, and then you're in front. They basically said, "Look, you're great for TV. I think your product's really exciting, and I think Gordon or Janine would love to be it. So get your bags packed, and you'll be on the first episode." Which for a starting out company, just to know that I was going to be on the first opening episode, which with high 1.7, 1.8 million viewership usually on the first opening episode, but get to meet Gordon Ramsay and have a crack at sharing my product and my culture with our culture, you know, with the wider Australia. But it went super well. If you haven't seen the show, it went really well, and managed to get myself on Team Gordon. But it all started really from... I've had cafes for a long time, so I guess I've been cutting my teeth in the beverage space for a while, mainly around coffee. And I always had been wondering about why tea was so overpriced, because the tea product that we've been so used to putting in cups, in takeaway cups, has been always such low grade. And we've seen it with wine, we've seen it with coffee, we see it with all these other products. What about tea? You know, can we get fancy with tea? And is there... First of all, I took a bag of tea out to the Rinji Freedom Festival and tried some products. And everyone's response around those campfires, they couldn't get enough of our Aussie breakfast.
Cool, brother. Good.
It was just it's always been, from the get-go, such a positive, engaging response. And part of it's the story, but I think part of it's just how good our produce and plants and fruits are in Australia.
And as you said, right under our fingertips, under our toes, virtually, and when we're talking about country, you know, here we are living on country, I always say we're sitting on a gold mine.
We are.
Just as black people, you know what I mean? Just got to get proactive, our skin in the game, and you're doing that, Troy.
Yeah, I mean, we're about to start a campaign, you know, the next Aussie icon comes in black, BLAK.
I love it.
Because isn't it great? Like, why we should be an icon. Our culture should be iconic, not subsidiary, not secondary.
60,000 years, we know what we're doing.
And like you said, we've got so much. It grows like a weed, and it ain't a weed. It's like premium high-end medicinal gear that can grow with organically with no pesticides, and you don't have to over-farm it, and it just grows in people's pots or their backyards, and it's just incredible that we're only just hearing about it now, but for obvious reasons we've been cut out in history. But
watch this space. And to our dear listeners just tuned in, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, having a deadly yarn with Troy Benjamin, founder and operator of Black Brews, who just won the Gordon Ramsay Mentorship with Food Star Success. As I said, congratulations. What happens here now, Troy, and where do you go on from here, and how do you work under Gordon Ramsay's left armpit, so to speak?
I'll take any armpit of his.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Matt, so we're currently in planning. He's an obviously very busy guy. He's in the middle of filming Hell's Kitchen, the next series, so... We're currently working with his team to get me over there on a 10-day trip to the UK.
Okay, sure. Beautiful.
And he'll be flying me over there to do a multitude of things, to sit under his wing and work out how his procurement team works.
Good.
But also meet distributors over there, because he's super, super, super excited. And for those of you that think that maybe this is just Channel 9 creating a winner, it's not. Gordon genuinely loved our tea and has been painfully tight-lipped over the last 12 months, because this was filmed a year ago.
Yeah, gotcha. And okay.
It takes that long to edit. Bruce.
What happens on the green mile stays on the green mile until I say so.
But I'm really excited to get over there and see how he works, but also to be exposed to his team and the way he operates day to day. And you know, I'm not a Gordon Ramsay, but the way he manages his personal brand, but also his food brands and his basically his products. I'm really intrigued to see how he does it so genuinely.
Well, you're going there as an entrepreneur to learn the ropes and what have you, you know. And with your products there, and we are students for life. I will have to say this, my brother: you need to roll with the punches and get ready to be sworn out, brother.
That's right. Yes, to go over there and trust in him. And but also the off spill of the show has been nothing but fantastic.
Good.
where our sales have gone through the roof, and we're having to employ just a few more staff, but also the genuine interest with the wider Australia, yes. whether or not it's transport companies, airlines, hotels, they're all really, really now interested.
Yes.
And, you know, their ears have been pricked up now to say, why aren't we incorporating these Aboriginal businesses into our mainstream audience positions? And hopefully we're paving the way, but also encouraging other black businesses
exactly.
out there to not just think so small, but...
lead from the front, brother, lead from the front. Enjoy that journey and
I think so. Yeah,
travel
yeah.
with your open mind and all the best. Congratulations, Troy, and big shout-out to your mob there, brother. Black Brews, alive
Thanks
and
so
kicking
much.
Well in the 21st century. Too deadly, brother. We'll yarn soon and I'll drink to that.
yeah. Thanks for having me, Trevor. You're a jet.
See you, brother. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother. Bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Troy Benjamin, his name is, founder and operator of Black Brews. So, yeah, major win and a Gordon Ramsay mentorship with Food Star Success. So fantastic. And another successful story there. And like I said, we need more black successes out there, not only on the football field. To Deadly Mob and Trendy Trev, about to sign off, you mob. Thank you very much for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we've got the news coming up via NERS, National Radio Service. And thank you, NERS, Deadly Team. And we'll be yarning soon, you mob. One love, two deadly.